The Old Testament in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles gives us the context for this promise of Emmanuel. King Ahaz, who became king when he was 20 years old and reigned for 16 years, received this promise. King Ahaz, scripture says, did not walk in the way of the Lord, but did what was evil in the Lord's sight. Scripture gives us several examples of just how wicked Ahaz was. He made idols of false gods out of metal. He worshipped foreign gods and the gods of the mountains and of the trees. He offered his own sons with fire as a sacrifice. He betrayed those closest to him, his own children, for political gain. And as a result of his hunger and thirst for power, many of God's people, the people that he was supposed to serve, died, lost their homes, and lost their livelihoods because of him, their leader. But at one point, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees shake in a storm. They were overcome with fear because they realized two foreign powers made a pact to destroy Ahaz and the nation of Israel. It seems that Ahaz had nowhere else to turn except God. And so it's God's idea to send the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz to meet him in his fear. And Isaiah brings a message of hope to Ahaz, even though he is clearly not a person or a leader that deserves it. He doesn't deserve the kindness and goodness of God. Isaiah gives Ahaz his message: ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. In other words, King Ahaz, there's no limit to the sign that I want to give you if you ask humbly and prayerfully. Your request can be as grounded as the deep places of the earth or as transcendent as the reality beyond the stars. Just ask. King Ahaz's response is, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. In other words, thanks, but no thanks, God. This religious piety is a farce. God is offering him an undeserved gift, and he wants to refuse it, as if God has an ulterior motive. As if God is going to betray him, just like Ahaz betrays everybody else, including his own sons. Isaiah is greatly annoyed. He scolds Ahaz. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you would weary my God also? In other words, is it not enough, Ahaz, for you to exasperate human beings that you would also try to exasperate the Almighty God? There is a lesson in this for us today, in this ancient story of Ahaz's 16-year quest for power. He turns to false gods in pride and in the abuse of his power. He refuses to accept God's gracious gift, even though he clearly does not deserve it. The promise of Emmanuel comes at a time of global conflict and this corrupt leader. The promise of Emmanuel comes again, hundreds of years later, to Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, at a time of global conflict and corrupt leadership. Like Ahaz, Joseph is overcome by fear at the news of his fiancée's pregnancy, But unlike Ahaz, however, Joseph is a man of integrity. He truly loves the Lord and his fiancée, Mary. He wants to give Joseph, Mary, and the whole world a gift, an undeserved gift, this Emmanuel, this God who is with us. And so the promise of Emmanuel comes to us today. No matter where you are or I are on the political spectrum, I think that we can agree that we live at a time of global conflict and corrupt world leaders. There's nothing new under the sun, the scripture reminds us. Whether we look at one news network or the other, whether we vote for one party or the other, whether we are citizens of one nation or another, God's gift comes to the world undeserved. That is why we pray for our leaders and our nations. We have not earned or merited his goodness as fallen humanity. Clearly, none of us deserve or could have earned this priceless and divine gift. The gift of Emmanuel always comes to those who could never have imagined or have made up this gift. God's gift is a death blow to our arrogance. It's a death blow to our narcissism and our idolatry. Emmanuel reveals our self-centeredness and preoccupation with our own power and prestige. The Emmanuel will take the mask off our false idols and reveal our destructive demons. God calls us to look away from earthly saviors. He wants us to learn the wisdom of Psalm 146. Do not put your trust in princes or in mortals in whom there is no help. Our hope and our future does not rest in the next election or the next in line for royalty. As the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, says so beautifully of this Emmanuel, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Here is the beautiful irony of today's scripture. Like Ahaz, we mortals fear other mortals. We live in the anxiety and the fear of humanity, looking for hope and power and a better future in themselves. God wants us to look to him for salvation and blessing. And so he sends his son to take on humanity. The word becomes flesh. Now we can look to the word made flesh, someone born of a woman. But this one is not born as you and I are. This mother is a virgin. He is not merely human. He is divine. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us in human flesh. We can now look to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in a baby, in a manger, in a human child. God is with us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and he's with us in our suffering because he himself suffered. God is with us in our deaths because on our behalf he died. God is with us through death because on our behalf he rose again from the dead. God is with us in the life of the world to come because he is the one who makes all things new. God is with us in spite of ourselves. That is the great humor and irony of the Christmas story. His name, Emmanuel, carries the full joy of who he is for you and me with us. O come, thou key of David, come. Open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And so we pray. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.